Welcome to another episode of Learn English with Football. This is a live show that I record on Teacher Zdenek YouTube channel. And with me, Teacher Zdenek, and three guests, Leontes, Paul, and Ben. Hi, guys.
Hello, Zdenek.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Good to have you back, guys. You have all appeared on this show before. We have got two guys from last week. Who do we start with? I guess Leontes. So, yeah. Leontes, this is not the first thing we are recording today.
No. We've just, this afternoon, we recorded something new I'm doing on my YouTube channel, Language Learning Talks. And it was the first episode, and we talked about native speakerism and what it means for language learners, language teachers, something about racism. It was a good talk. We had a good talk.
I hope I didn't rant too much, because I tend to do that sometimes. But anyway, this is your channel, Mr. Henriquez. I believe that's your surname, Mr. Henriquez,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're an English teacher. You are all English teachers here, actually, for a change.
Yeah. This is where we hang out, have a night.
Yeah. That's what we do in our spare time.
Okay. And then Paul also... we also remember him from last week. Paul, this is your third back-to-back appearance.
Yeah, three on the run. Yeah.
Glad to have you back. Yeah. I have to say, people seem to love your accent. They always tell me in the comments. And
I have
of course,
strange accents. When I go to Liverpool, people say, "Where are you from?" And I say, "I'm from here, Liverpool." And they
really?
Say, "Well, where are
really?
You originally from?" And I say, "I'm from here."
So well, to I think me, you sound
teaching
Scouse,
English.
But...
Yeah, I am Scouse, but I think maybe I have a slight inflection in the way I talk now because I've taught English for a long time. Yeah,
So
14 years.
You see, like your language is, your accent is a bit sort of diluted, sort of.
I think my accent is diluted, but it's just strange the way I speak. I think I've just picked up some strange habits from speaking to mostly international students for 14 years.
Well, we are not complaining.
At some point, for not being a native speaker anymore.
Yeah, I don't feel like a native speaker anymore, to be honest.
Well, we are not complaining.
I get comments on my videos saying, "Are you South African, or are you from Holland?" Or because there's something. I mean, I was born in England, but I've lived in Spain for 20 years and been teaching English all that time. So it's the same. It's something. Yeah, inflection or just the way we pronounce words, maybe we're trying to make sure as many people can understand us as possible.
Yeah,
so perhaps we lose
it.
That.
Yeah.
It could be be the fact that we're English teachers, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I remember the first time teaching in Japan, and Japanese kids saying homework back to me one time, asking me for homework. I thought, oh my God, that's how I say it. I need to maybe change the way I say it. All these Japanese kids saying homework.
Yeah, kids just imitate, don't they? So when they don't have any sort of influence from phonetics and stuff like that, they just imitate what you say. So same things happened to me. I remember a little kid was teaching him butterfly. And he said, just repeated butterfly with my accent, not like most... Most Spanish people say butterfly or something like that, but it's butterfly. It's amazing.
Like, you could also say butterfly.
Butterfly. Yeah, if you really want to go.
That's another
really
way
to go Cockney.
Yeah. But anyway, Paul, this is your channel. Oh, this is your Instagram. Sorry, but you also have a YouTube channel. I'm sure people can find your YouTube channel through your Instagram as well if they want.
Yeah, I'm more active on Instagram now. It's just easier to produce content on Instagram than YouTube.
Yep. Yeah, I can relate to that. And last but not least, we have Ben. Normally, to represent West Ham, we have Clive, but today it is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Zdenek. Yep, I'm here to...
I probably said hi already, but...
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. I don't know what it's like in this. You say hi when you first see someone, and then you have to say hi three more times. But,
exactly.
But we're representing West Ham today. So, well, always, but on
Fantastic.
Here today.
Not sure if we said who Leontes and Paul represent, but they are such familiar faces on this channel that I think by this time everybody knows. Leontes is a obviously Manchester United fan. Paul is a Liverpool fan, and you you support West Ham, and also you have a really really successful YouTube channel, To the Point English with Ben.
Thank you. It had a spike. It took off a few months ago, and then it's kind of settled down back to how it was before. But yeah, it's going well. I'm very happy with it. Yeah, thank you.
Well, 10K subscribers. That's no mean feat, in my opinion.
So, I told Zenek when he said that you were coming on. I said, "What?" I always recommend your videos on the CPE training and stuff to my own students.
Oh, really?
So I was like, "Oh, wow."
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's an honor. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's good to know. It's good to hear these things. Because I'm just putting the content out. I don't really know. You can see that the numbers and the analytics and stuff, but you don't really, not really sure what's going on out there, really, how people are receiving it. So thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, guys. So obviously we are here to talk about football. I was wondering how I do that. Yeah, I've done it. And we will start with matches we have seen. Obviously, this is a show about the Premier League, and I would also like to say, those of you who were missing the Language Corner show, unfortunately, I didn't manage to record it this time, and I don't think I ever will be able to do that. It's a lot of work. I think you guys all do YouTube, so you know what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. You have to edit your videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's try something different. At the end of the show, I'll see if I can explain some of the vocabulary that was mentioned here that sort of appears in this conversation. But we're going to talk about the matches we have seen now. So who would like to start?
I've only seen Man United, actually, and I saw the highlights just now. I've just watched the highlights of Liverpool and City. So I did follow what happened a bit, but I didn't see it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday I had a bit of a Super Sunday. I watched West Ham, Southampton, West Ham, and then the Liverpool Man City match. So it was a bit of a marathon, 5 or 6 hours, I suppose. But yeah,
it was a full day of football, wasn't it, yesterday? Real Madrid, El Clasico.
Yeah, I couldn't watch that, but yeah.
I know, I didn't see the Liverpool game live. I watched the full match later on. I was waiting to see what the score was before I watched it. I was out. So I've watched Spurs on Saturday, and I've seen highlights of matches, but then I've seen the full Liverpool match later, not live.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have to say, normally I watch at least one or two matches on Saturday. But this time, I think I only saw some bits and pieces. I wasn't that impressed by the team that were playing. I wasn't that interested. But I'm with Ben. It was kind of Super Sunday for me because I was watching the West Ham game. I was actually going to watch the West Ham and Arsenal game at the same time. I don't know, guys, if you have ever done that. But if I have two teams I really like watching or I don't want to miss, I'll just use my laptop for one of the matches and my phone for the other one. And I watched like a crazy person. I watched two matches at the same time. Luckily, something happened in the Arsenal game and it had to be postponed by 40 minutes. I think the power went out and they couldn't use the goal line technology. So they had, because they wanted to have a level playing field, they postponed it by about 40 minutes. So, yeah. Anyway, I was able to see a lot from both games. And then I also saw the Liverpool-Manchester City game. So, yeah. Okay, well, let's...
What was the... So it was technology, was it, in the Arsenal match? Was it the goal line technology? Yeah. Just that?
Well, they said... That the commentators, I don't think they were sure about it themselves, but they said something along the lines of the power went out or the goal line technology doesn't work. And then they were, I think it seemed to be the goal line technology because right before they restarted the match, the referee went to the goal line and he was holding a ball and he was kind of putting it behind the line. I was like, what? Like, if you didn't know the context, you must have been wondering, what on earth is this referee doing?
Yeah.
He was literally putting the ball behind the line, and in like many times, so it looked looked really weird. Yeah,
I think that's a bit wrong to delay the match for 40 minutes and keep all the fans there just because they didn't have goal line technology.
Yeah, but then again, you'll notice that in that game, you know, we need the goal line technology.
Did we? Did something?
No, I don't know. But usually, if they would have said, "Well, let's just play," and then you know, you get those instances, blah blah blah.
Yeah. You do need it.
Murphy's Law. Yeah.
Almost every single game, like there is a VAR intervention, right? These days, and usually more than once. We're gonna talk about it. It was in the, I think it was every single match here. And every single match of the football fans we have here. So okay, let's discuss the game week highlights. Right, I think we're gonna get the Manchester United match out of the way first. I'm sorry, Leontes, but I think it was one of the less impressive displays. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I do think that Newcastle played well. I think United played well as well. And I think I want to make a slight... I want to refer back to the Thursday game against... Oh, what was their name again? Omonia. I think United played very well in that game.
Against Omonia and Nicosia?
Yeah, I think they played well. They had lots of pressure. They had lots of opportunities, lots of chances.
The team is sixth in the Cypriot League, Leon says.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it at a holistic view, basically, and you look at United and the way they play, and you compare it to how they used to play, you know, there is some form of improvement. You see, some things go better. They are able to, you know, maintain the ball better than they used to do. You know, put some pressure more than they used to do. Defending is better than they used to do. So there are areas of improvement, I think. It's not good enough. We're not there yet, but there are some areas.
Did Ronaldo play both matches, the European match and at the weekend, right? He's getting a few minutes then.
But explain to us why this is happening. Why is he being given so much time on the pitch now? What is the main reason? Is it because Ten Hag thinks he's the number one striker, Leontes?
No, Martial is injured again. I don't know whether he's injured. I think he's just getting some rest. Had a back issue. And Rashford was also not feeling very well.
Didn't start. He
got some rest over the weekend.
Newcastle played well in the first half, I heard. Yeah. They had a few chances.
Yeah.
Well, it was 0-0, that wasn't that match. Yeah. It was 0-0.
It was. Yeah. It ended in a goalless draw. Yeah.
Joel Linton, I saw his chance where he headed against the bar and then he hit the post.
Again.
I would have expected some goals in it. Yeah, I would have expected to see some goals at least, but I haven't seen anything of the match, but it's. Yeah. I asked about Ronaldo because I don't know how. I don't know. It's a big question, isn't it? But I don't know. Leontes will know more than I do. But whether he's a good influence or not, and I sound stupid to say that about one of the greatest players of all time, but I remember watching him a lot in Spain for Real Madrid, and he scored lots of goals. But I just wondered sometimes if they wouldn't have been even that was him at his best. And I thought sometimes, of course, he had to play every minute of every game, but I just felt that sometimes he was. Green Street Elites. Is that Clive?
It is Clive, yeah.
That's high. Last time in a minute, Clive. I just don't know. His personality seems to be so overwhelming in the changing room, I can imagine. Overbearing, maybe that's the better word, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got a prize or some sort of memorandum from... Sir Alex Ferguson, and I didn't really like his attitude. It didn't seem genuine. It didn't seem like he was genuinely grateful for the thing he got. Whereas David De Gea was, you know, he seemed more genuine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's the good old narrative that Ronaldo is about himself, right? He's very individualistic. He cares about his own personal achievements more than he might care about his team. His legacy is everything to him. Now he has scored 700 goals. Like, people love him across the whole world. You know, he's a legend. He's a legend of football. It's undeniable, right? We can't, none of us can deny that, the things he has achieved. But, like, I also understand Ben's point, because the way he is, does he really care about the team enough, you know?
Yeah. I think he's never, considering he's such a legend and he's such an amazing football player, I don't think he's ever been, apart from Man United, Real Madrid fans never really, I think the young fans took to him, but the older fans didn't really, he's never been a fan favourite. And where did he go then? Juventus. I don't think he was particularly popular Juventus, from what I've heard. So, I mean, he's obviously he's quite an arrogant person and all that, but it's, you know, you just expect, I imagine that some of his teammates would be rubbed up the wrong way by him, and he probably wouldn't be completely integrated into the team as others would. So, I mean, and now that he's getting on a bit, he may not be, you know, whether it's worth it, you know, what you have to put up with, you know, is he contributing enough to get the salary and the place in the team every week? I think we're getting to that point of his career where the managers are going to have to take that decision. And I think
I think Ten Hag, as Leon Tess says, is it like that, has been handling him well. He's been limiting his minutes and trying to bring other players through. I think when Martial and Rashford are both fit, Ronaldo is back on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think Anthony was a bit poor this week.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he had some nice chances, but he wasn't as present as he usually is.
Hmm.
He's a bit like Sancho. He was a bit like Sancho. Like, you know, Sancho had this excellent time at Dortmund, but now, you know, he's
Eddie Howe has done an amazing job. I know you're talking about Manchester United, but I think in keeping Anthony quiet, they haven't made any major signings. Okay, they're probably the richest club in the world now. They've Trippier, Bruno Guimarães. Like, they've made signings, but not like players who you think, wow, that Callum Wilson. Chris Wood. He signed Chris Wood. Kieran Trippier.
Chris Wood was Deadwood, right? Where did he come from?
He Burnley. Most of the season, and like he was playing well, though. Like, Newcastle were getting results with him. I think it's amazing what he's done. To be honest, he's made them like a real top six challenger without actually signing or without these big star names yet, and they have a good squad. Isaac to come back.
Exactly.
They're going to be in the. They're going to be in the top four, I think top six this year.
It was always obvious that there is going to have to be some kind of transformation, because they, now that they have the money, like, there are high expectations, the fans are excited. So you want to carry that momentum with you. But there is also, like, there could be some painful stuff happening along the way, right? Because you might have to, like, get rid of some people, and there could be some toxic atmosphere in the changing room. And I think you are right. Like, considering what has to happen, like, this transformation, and they will at some point bring, like, world class players. Yeah, that's I think it's going to happen. Yeah.
It's, well, I think Bruno Guimarães and Alexander Isak are, well, I don't know, world class, but they've got the potential to be. I think that, and that's where they're shopping, really. That's where they cannot buy the world-class players of the world yet.
If they do it sensitively, right? If they do this transformation or transition sensitively and approach it in the right way and at the right pace, I think that's the most important thing. And then they will build an amazing club.
It's like Man City, 15 years ago, was it, when they were They bought players like Craig Bellamy, I think, and you know, not superstars, you know, world superstars, but yeah, little by little, I think they, and then they got Aguero, and it just built from there, I think. I think it's very difficult, I imagine, to attract the players at first. I know they can offer big salaries, but these players want to be playing in Champions League every year, so it will come. It's just going to maybe in the next 5 years. I mean, you mentioned the top six, the big six. I don't know how long. I guess with the big six are still the big six, but how long will that last for? I mean, like I said, Tottenham have established themselves because 10 years ago we were talking about the big four. Now it's the big six, but I think Newcastle are getting in there.
Yeah,
I'd like to think that West Ham could get there in a few years, but I'm not. Maybe I'm just being optimistic, but I mean, I can see other teams getting up there, but it's and some, without mentioning any names, some dropping out or dropping down a little bit.
It's so competitive, isn't it? And I think clubs are having to spend so much money just to stay where they are. Like clubs like West Ham, for example, Everton, and Aston Villa, they have to spend so much money just to actually stay 16th in the league. It's just to avoid relegation.
Yeah. We spent more than almost any club for the first time in our history. I think we've spent, if not the top spenders in the summer, one of the top spenders. And we haven't started that well. So, but anyway, we're not talking about West Ham now. But
the Manchester United Newcastle game, which I thought could have gone anyway, to be honest with you. It could have gone anyway because I saw the highlights. Mm-hmm. And that Joel Linton double, like he hit the bar with a header, and then 1 second after that he hit the post with a header. Mm-hmm. So that could have easily gone in. And then there were some massive chances at the death, right? In the 90th minute, Rashford I think had a sitter, missed a sitter.
He had a header right at the end. There were some strange decisions as well, I thought, in that match.
Yeah. I think the Ronaldo incident was weird. That was...
What happened?
Well, at some point, there was this free kick, and the keeper took the free kick, assuming, according to Ronaldo. And it was just a minor nod of some sort or something. And then Ronaldo kicked the ball from the keeper and finished
And he was
it.
Still waiting to... He was still waiting to...
Yeah,
to...
yeah. Yeah,
kick it.
I think it's pathetic. The defender touched it, didn't it? But he obviously never took it.
No,
he obviously never took it. It happened in the Brazilian league a few months ago, and they gave the goal. They gave the goal.
I think it depends. It happened in the Dutch league as well. When I think Ten Hag was still with Ajax, and it was Ajax against FC Groningen, which is where I live, and the keeper kind of mistimed his free kick, and he kicked the ball a bit too far, and one of the FC Groningen players really scored a goal, and they gave the goal because it was very clear that he took a free kick, even though it was an accident. So,
this hadn't been taken, had it, Leontes?
No.
The ball moved like 1 yard, 2 yards. If it had been taken, it was the worst pass ever.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's like standing there, isn't he? As if I'm going to get that. Like, and he just took it off the keeper and knocked it in, and then everyone surrounding the referee. I thought it was a bit pathetic.
Yeah,
I agree that this is pathetic. I mean, come on, you can do better than that, Ronaldo.
Yeah.
By the way, this is what Clive says about Ronaldo.
That's what I was.
I do think, and I said it last week as well, I do think Pogba is worse. Pogba was worse. I think Pogba has this... I mean, Ronaldo, you can see that he's a bit arrogant and his character is a bit toxic, but he'll never go out in public or even make any sneaky comments about United, Ten Hag or any of his fellow players. Pogba used to do this. And I think that's a level of professionalism that he really has.
Hmm.
And credit where credit's due, of course. He doesn't talk dirty behind the back of his coaches or teams or fellow peers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair play. I don't know much about Pogba. For me, it's just how I see them get, you know, like maybe it's stupid, but how they celebrate goals together. And, you always feel that Ronaldo's just going through, if he doesn't score, he's just going through the motions of, oh, I have to celebrate with this. I don't really care. But, having played for, I guess we've all played football and we've all had teammates, and you think you want them to be 100% behind you. And whoever scores, you're going to be equally happy for each other. So, but just don't get that feeling. I wouldn't want. I don't know. As I said, I don't know enough about Pogba, so I can't comment. But Ronaldo, toxic in the changing rooms. Maybe.
Yeah, we don't know the whole story yet, but it looks like it. Yeah, Leontes, there was one thing that struck me. Why did Ten Hag only bring on one player? And it was actually Ronaldo himself that was taken off. I've just looked at the. The match stats, and it seems like he only made one substitute. Now, they now have a chance to bring on five people from this season on, right? And why did he bring on only one? Does it mean that he doesn't trust his squad players, or what's going on?
I don't know. I know that he doesn't believe in kind of a B team, right? So he doesn't believe in secondary teams. He didn't believe in that at Ajax. I don't know why he didn't make more changes. Maybe he thinks that these are the players that have to do it and they have to show their skills. Because I know that the Dutch commentators, when they were talking about the game during the break, they were very critical about Casemiro and that he wasn't in the right spot during the game. So that's why Ten Hag wanted Frankie de Jong from Barcelona to fill in that particular area. So, but maybe he thinks that he wants to show that he's getting together a fixed team that plays regularly. I don't know. Fred was terrible. Yeah, Fred was one of those players I would have taken off if I were Ten Hag.
How funny that it was only Ronaldo that was taken off as well.
Yeah.
Of all people.
He's 37 years old, I suppose. He's going to need the rest more than others. Even though he seems superhuman,
there was a moment where you could definitely see that he was lacking speed, and that we needed someone with speed. I know that Daniel James, who went to Leeds, was very quick. So that's a pity that he left, because he would have been a very good quick striker.
Yeah, Ten Hag would have liked him, I think. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I think let's move on to the West Ham game. So that was an away game against Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ben, that's your team.
Mm-hmm.
So West Ham, yeah. are you happy with the draw?
No.
1-1?
No, I wouldn't have been happy before the match, and I definitely wasn't happy after the match. I mean, I'm not disrespecting Southampton, but I think where we are now, having, the last couple of years, we've been in the top seven or eight. And I think we should be winning those matches. And I think we were the better team on the day. We're a bit unlucky. We also need to start scoring again. I'm really happy with Scamacca. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of him, because I think he's going to get a hatful of goals. He's going to... But... He had three or four pretty good chances on Sunday and didn't score. Disappointed at the end, but a point is a point. And that's another thing with Moyes. You could tell with about 15 minutes. I wasn't happy when Moyes was when Moyes came back for the second time to be the manager. I wasn't happy the first time, but he's proved most of us wrong. So now, I trust Moyes 100%. But having said that, I knew, 15 minutes to go, 1-1, we were the better team, we had the momentum. He's not going to put two up front. Everyone's crying out to see Antonio and Scamacca up front. Kill the game. And people say, I prefer to have lost and tried to win rather than not try to win and draw.
And he thinks a point is a good result away from home.
He does, yeah, and he's probably right.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, considering the circumstances, like you were 1-0 down in the first half, and from what I saw, it was kind of a game of two halves. I think the first half wasn't that good from you. But then the second half, there was a massive amount of pressure from you. A lot of corners, set pieces, and honestly, like, I don't know how you didn't win that game.
No, I mean, yeah, I agree. I think I saw a stat in the first half that Southampton had, I think, 8 chances and 6 on target. We had, I think, 10 chances, none on target. So, you know, if we're not hitting the target, we're not going to score. But yeah, in the second half, we were much better, I think. And I mean, we could say we were unlucky for the goal we conceded. I think it was bad defending, but also we were a bit unlucky. But
Wait. Actually, we should talk about it a little bit more because there was an incident. From what I can make out, it seems that it was a weekend of suspect officiating throughout the league. And I think Clive is referring to something very, very specific here.
Yeah, well, a couple of things with that goal. First of all, it looked like it was a foul throw. I mean, it sounds very petty when you're talking about foul throws, but this guy, it looked like he stepped right over the line. You know, because one thing, like throwing it and it doesn't go right behind
his head. Foot was over the line or on the, like,
it was well over the
on the line.
It looked to me that it was well over the line, but apparently I haven't seen it again since, but I've heard people say that it was a part of his heel just touching the line.
I remember going to the match years ago, and Dennis Wise, when he played for Chelsea, he used to stand with his two heels just touching the line. He was on the pitch and all the crowds would be going mad. He's on the face of foul throw, but he knew that you only needed a little, like,
You know what? I probably didn't know the rule because at the time I probably thought that you can't do that. So as long as any part of your body touches the line,
you
can be on the
It's not a foul throw. What?
Well, I don't know about any part of your body. I don't know if your hand, because your hand's not part of your part. Of
oh yeah, but, yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like,
throwing it like that. But yeah, it's like when the ball. You know, for the ball to cross the line, it has to be a goal. It has to, the whole of the ball has to cross the whole of the line. So I think it's the same. The whole of the foot or whatever has to be over the whole of the line. So, yeah, okay, we'll forget about that. But then I think the incident that you're referring to, Zdenek, and Clive is probably referring to, well, before this, I think it was Suchek, I'm afraid, he did a terrible clearance. He made it, or maybe, I'm not sure if it was Suchek.
It was Suchek, yeah.
It was. He sliced his clearance. It was awful. But then Bowen, you know, he would have been able to get to the ball if the referee hadn't blocked him, basically accidentally, of course. But the referee got in the way, so the Southampton striker picked up the ball and had a shot which got heavily deflected and went into the goal. So
by Souček again.
Oh, was it Souček? I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah, it was Souček, of course. But to be honest, there was another incident involving Souček on the other half of the pitch, and David Moyes referred to that in the press conference, and he said that the referee, he said that whoever was on VAR needs to go to Specsavers, because Souček was obviously held there.
Yeah.
The penalty wasn't given.
Yeah,
the referee needs to explain it. They're faceless, aren't they? They don't explain or talk after matches. There's no, I didn't blow up because of this rule or something. And you're like, okay. But they're faceless. And so there's fans left debating this for days afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know about that obstruction rule. Not the obstruction rule. It's a new rule, isn't it? If the ball hits the referee, it goes back to the team that last touched it, I think. What is it?
I would imagine. Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Well, the team that was in control of the ball, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's the team that last touched it, I think. Oh, so, I think there's too many stoppages in the game now anyway. Players staying on the ground and the referee stopping it. But, yeah, I just thought a referee is part of the pitch. It's part of the field of play. You have to deal with it. You cannot, like, hit the ball at the referee to get a stoppage, which players might do if they are under pressure. But, so I don't know. It's very unlucky. But because they have that rule now, Ben, and they do stop the play if it hits the referee, because it would be an unfair advantage, it seems strange that they allowed that goal.
Well, to be fair, the ball didn't hit the referee. It was Bowen. So I think that going by the letter of the law, then there was nothing wrong with the goal.
Yeah.
The throw-in was just about legal, and you can't disallow a goal because the referee got in the way. But it's a bit unlucky.
The pen might have been a little bit soft as well. The thing is, though, I have noticed that David Moyes seems to be having a go at the referees and VAR a lot lately. So have you guys noticed it, Paul and Leontes? Have you heard David Moyes talk? Not too much. Would you agree with me, Ben, that this is happening? Or?
Well, I probably, but I think Moyes, it's like Mourinho. And I'm not comparing Moyes to Mourinho in any other way, just in this aspect, perhaps. But that's like Sam Allardyce, isn't it? Trying to make him more continental. But it was I agree with Clive.
Yeah.
I think Moyes and many managers do it to try and put pressure on the referees for future matches. Think twice. Think, oh God, I've got Moyes on my back if I don't do that. Maybe not even consciously, but I think it is part of the gamesmanship in some ways, that they're just trying to intimidate in some ways the referees. And maybe it's not cricket, as we say, but I think if you don't do it, then other managers, like Fergie, I think Alex Ferguson knew all those kind of tricks. He played those kind of games.
Is it true, Leontes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think he had too much power at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Was in his phone book.
All of the Christmas cards,
All right, so Paul, your next opponent in midweek is none other than West Ham. So,
they're a tough team to play against, West Ham, always. I think Moyes, the way he sets up his team, the fullbacks don't move. I think he tries to, well, against Liverpool, I think he will try to defend, but they look dangerous. That's Scamacca, is that his name?
Scamacca, Gianluca. Yeah.
He looks like a proper striker. He wants goals, and then you've got the speed of Bowen. Bowen has caused Liverpool problems in the past. I think Scamacca will be a handful for the defenders. So, it'll be a tough game for Liverpool, and I think...
Paquetá as well. You're into Brazilian football. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Develop.
The Brazilians I speak to love him, Ben. They want him to start in the World Cup. They really like him.
Rooney. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's saying something.
He's a good player.
Good news. Sorry, I interrupted you.
It's okay. And so it'll be a tough match for Liverpool. And going back to the managers, Klopp got a red card, didn't he? About Moyes putting pressure on people, Ferguson.
Mm.
Klopp likes to moan a little bit and scream it at
a little bit. I think he's going quite mad these days, actually, Paul.
No, he's not.
I love it. Don't get me wrong.
He's always been like that.
Always, okay.
Yeah.
Why did he get a red card, actually? I asked Zenek just before we started, but he didn't know. Why did he get a red card?
I did. He was shouting from several centimeters at the fourth referee
Salah was in the cut running into the corner, and Bernardo Silva was running with him. And Bernardo Silva assaulted Salah, jumped on his back, pulled him down by his shirt.
It was a foul, yeah.
It was a blatant foul. And the linesman's next to them. And the referees, and they carry on, play on, which the referee did most of the match.
Wow.
And then So when the linesman was running back, Klopp screams at us in his face. Yeah, which he can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was literally in his face. It was like 2 centimeters away, and he's those big teeth right in front of him. Yeah. I don't know what he's saying.
Big frame.
I mean, I can. It was such a blatant foul. I mean, I would have been livid if I was Salah or any Liverpool fan. But you can't be doing that. I mean, that's that was quite intimidating, I think. And if you, I don't know what he was saying, but screaming at the top of your voice at someone doing their job, running past, I think that's.
I think that's the first red card he's had, but he's done it lots of times before. And I think other managers think, how can Klopp get away with it? And I don't. I think Mourinho used to say something about it.
Just quickly going back to that West Ham game, we've got a comment from Stu. He says that Rice scored that equalizer.
The M in what? I don't get that. 150.
I don't understand that part. I'm not sure what this means, but
passed off the park versus Hungary twice.
I didn't see that match. I just know that Rice is an absolutely world class player. So I think a lot of people don't quite understand him because they don't see him that often, and he's not.
We have had these discussions here before.
I don't understand them. Mate.
You don't get it right.
No, I do now. I think I do. At the start, I didn't. I was like, he doesn't offer enough. And similar to what Stu is going on about, I think he sits on the centre back's laps for most of the match. And he's supposedly a box. Well, he's not a box to box midfielder, I think. I think he could be. But I think he plays more. He's a defensive midfielder, and I think he's one of the best defensive midfielders around. But like, he's limited in what he can do as well.
But I've never thought of him as a box to box midfielder. I don't know if that's developing in that way for the future. But he started as a centre back only 4 or 5 years ago, and he still plays there sometimes when we're desperate, which we might be on.
On
Tuesday or whenever.
You are riddled with injuries now. Your centre backs are injured, right?
So yeah.
Again, you had to play 4 fullbacks actually against Southampton, as far as I know.
It was Cresswell, Kehrer, Johnson, and Kufal.
The fans don't seem very impressed with the Czech duo this year, though.
No, unfortunately, they started really well. Obviously, when they joined the club, they were amazing. Really hit the ground running. But they haven't maintained that high level, unfortunately. But I think we should stick with them and give them a chance to come, especially Suchek. I'm not so sure about.
It's also about their age, right? So Suchek is younger, you know.
Yeah.
There was a trio of Czech people, wasn't there?
Oh,
yeah.
Kral. I just got Stu Mack's comment. 150 million. That was the asking price for Declan Rice. And that was also confusing for me as well. So,
yeah, it's a lot of money.
For someone with... Oh, I think he's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I do think he's brilliant. Such a strong... He's good on the ball. He can run with it. He's... Yeah, he can spot danger. He does play next to the centre backs a bit too much, I think. And I think if you want a team to be progressive, he can do a bit more, but he can develop that. But 150 million for a defensive midfielder is, or 100 million, if I were West Ham, I'd take it and just buy
an African for 10 million. I understand why they wouldn't do that, because honestly, he's got such an influence at the club. He's the club captain. So much potential, so young, still improving, and already he's that voice in the dressing room. I completely understand that West Ham...
His contract or what else, too? He hasn't signed a contract. Eight-year contract, wasn't it? They offered him 8 years.
They're trying everything, but I think he's going, of course. I've been saying that every season for about 4 years now, but I think... He's young. He's a world-class player. I'm sure of it. Maybe I'm, see things little, I'm biased because I'm a West Ham fan, but apart from that, it's his personality. He will be an England captain. He's going to break a lot of records, I think, for appearances and not goal scoring or anything like that. But I think he's just got a personality that I don't think that I haven't seen much of England, but I don't think Southgate gets the best out of him, maybe because of the other players he's got around him. But I think he's got potential, and I think he's just going to get better. And I think he's just amazing. He's 9 matches out of 10, he's the best player, or the best West Ham player, at least on the pitch. And he's just so consistent. I think he's the best player. I'm tempted to say the best English player West Ham have had since Bobby Moore, I think. I can't think at all.
Better than Rio Ferdinand's and Joe Cole's.
Potentially. I mean, maybe it's too early to judge, but I mean, even Trevor Brooking and Billy Bonds, they're my...
West Ham have had so many English players.
Yeah. But I just think he's going to break all kinds of records, as I said.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I've seen a lot of West Ham matches, like 95% of West Ham matches. And I totally understand where the West Ham fans are coming from when they praise, so the way they appraise.
And it's the English tax, isn't it? It's the English tax, and it's how much, like, Grealish is not worth 100 million, but it's how much he was worth to Aston Villa, and somebody came in and paid it. City could pay that, couldn't they? Like 100 million for Declan Rice. I think he's worth that to West Ham. So,
well, some people say that we've already spent that money, that we were able to spend all the Scamacca, Paqueta, because we're spending the money before, we know he's going, so we might as well spend the money to help the transition. Because we've got this young player, Flynn Downs, who could be a good replacement for Rice, but we'll see about that. I don't know much about him.
But all right, guys.
Defensive midfielders, you can pick them up. It's an easy position on the pitch. It's an important position.
Yeah.
But like the Everton player who they just signed, Onana, you could sign someone like that.
We were in for him. Yeah, we wanted to get him. But Everton, and even... I can't remember another defensive midfielder. I think we're obviously thinking about life after Rice.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. We are getting carried away here with West Ham, but we haven't even started talking about Liverpool yet. So Liverpool, Manchester City, arguably one of the best games, if not the best game of the season. I thought the best game of the season was Arsenal Liverpool, but honestly, I'm sure Paul will say something different. What a performance for
Liverpool! Have good games every week, Senek.
Even against United,
it's usually like I said, Liverpool are involved with good games all the time, and it was a good game. The second half in particular. First half was intense and a bit tight, a bit cagey in some ways, but the second half exploded into life. With chances and controversy and just atmosphere. And Liverpool, Salah scored and we held on and won. Yeah, when many people thought.
Did he silence the doubters?
In some ways, yeah. And you could see the crowd were up for it. Like it was the crowd were up for it. Right behind the team, the players were up for it, and Liverpool have not been getting the results this season, but they haven't been too far away, and everyone's been writing them off. And even Klopp has been a bit down, to be honest, because I think, we've lost to Manchester United and Arsenal, but they were close matches. It wasn't like a thrashing or anything. And it was good. It was good to win. I'm happy.
That Salah goal was amazing. I loved that assist from Alisson, and the control, the way he turned. I don't know who the defender was.
Cancelo.
Right. Incredible. And the composure.
Alisson has got 4 assists now.
Really?
For Liverpool.
Both
goalkeepers were Brazilian, weren't they?
Both really good.
Who's the first choice for Brazil?
Alisson, I think. He's played both in the qualifying, to be honest.
Right.
Alice, and there's a Brazilian keeper called Waverton, who a lot of people in Brazil want to be number one. I mean, who plays for Palmeiras, but I think it'll be Alisson. He's picked Alisson more than Ederson.
Mm. Leontes, yeah, Salah, did you see the game, Leontes?
Yeah, I saw the highlights. I was just talking to say that. I think it was intense. I liked the intensity. But what else would you expect? I liked the save. I think Haaland had one particular chance, and it was right in front of goal. But then the goalkeeper made a very nice save. And then it's just very big hand, was one of the commentators said during the highlights. I thought that was very good as well.
And he almost had a chance. Yeah, and he almost had another chance in the second half, but then one Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Player from your country, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's Dutch. So he really, I thought he played really well yesterday.
Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Everyone did. Gomez played well. Milner played well.
Now, Gomez was the best player of the game. Was the player of the match, right?
The match, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Harvey Elliott played really well. Well, Liverpool played 4-4-2 yesterday. And it's with Salah, the furthest forward. Firmino just behind him. And then Elliott and Jota, like old-fashioned right and left midfielders, really.
Yeah, obviously,
Thiago and Fabinho in the middle.
Obviously, one talking point was that Milner was playing right back, right?
Yeah, and Trent came on. He must have been fit enough to play, because you don't come on if you're not fit enough to play, but he had missed a couple of games.
That was a surprise, because one week ago, Klopp said that if this is just 2 weeks, we are lucky. The injury, you know, impact, extent. So, like, honestly, surprised.
I don't know if he will play against West Ham. I'm not sure. You think he will, but Milner did play really well, but Milner is 36.
It's not his main position, though. So, Ben, do you want Trent to play against West Ham? Because a lot of people say he's a Liverpool weakness now. So
yeah, I think he's a great player. They say defensively is weaker. Yeah, but I mean, those teams like Liverpool, if it's not Trent, it's Milner. Milner's a fantastic player too. So it's what's the choice? And it's I worry more about West Ham. Defensively, but going forward too. I think we've got to start gelling and going forward. But yeah, you're asking me about Trent Alexander. I think he's going through a bit of a dip, but I think he's a world-class player. He's one of the best English players, and I think I hope he goes to the World Cup. I mean, is there a chance he won't go to the World Cup?
There is now. Reece James is injured. Walker is having an operation. Reece James is out until looks like he's going to miss the World Cup.
Right.
Walker is 50-50 for the World Cup. So,
right.
And I think Trent still wouldn't play. I think he would pick Trippier ahead of him, which is probably right, to be honest.
Really? Has he been that bad? I didn't realise. I've heard, I haven't seen that much of Liverpool.
He's been poor the last few games. I don't know if that's right. Just the way for Southgate and the way England play, I think. I understand Southgate's decision.
Fair enough. It's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Yeah, we need those young players. I think. Is he still pretty young? Is he? He's got to be early 20s.
He got nominated for the Ballon d'Or today.
Oh really?
I was just
along with Nunes
on live stream about the Ballon d'Or.
I think six of Liverpool players got nominated, but it's a long list. It must be a long list. Nunes is on that list.
I was looking for a live blog on the Ballon d'Or. I couldn't find something live going on, but I did find that Mason Greenwood has to remain I think he's in prison.
Yeah.
He must remain in prison
for a hearing today.
Yeah. Talking about young players.
He was
charged with attempted. Was he charged already then?
No, he hasn't been charged. It's happening now.
But he's accused of attempted rape, right? Yeah. Assault or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his girlfriend, wasn't it?
Was it controlling behavior as well, or something like that?
Yeah, it's that, something like that, Senek. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Liverpool, it was great. Sorry.
I'm sure you enjoyed it. But Guardiola didn't enjoy it so much, and I feel like he was a bit moany after the game. When he was asked about the disallowed goal, if Phil Foden scored a goal, it was disallowed.
Mm-hmm.
He responded by saying, "This is Anfield."
Yeah, he said that about four or five times.
Which I thought was hilarious, because before that, a few days before that, Klopp was moaning about the fact that Liverpool can't compete against the likes of Manchester City. Is this just mind games, or what's happening there, Leontes? What do you think?
Well, I think he's definitely playing some sort of mind game. But then again, maybe he's genuine and just saying, well, you know, we're not going to win this season, but they are going to. And maybe he doesn't want to see Arsenal win. So
yeah.
I'm rooting for Arsenal now. I was very happy that City lost because of Arsenal.
Hmm.
Yeah, Arsenal won again, didn't they? It seemed like it wasn't an easy victory, though. I didn't
hard
watch
fought.
It.
Hard
I've fought. Seen it the highlights.
Brilliant goal by Saka. But yeah. I have to say, Leeds played really well. It was probably their best match of the season. And they were up for it. The fans were amazing. The atmosphere was electric. And I thought Arsenal didn't exactly cover themselves in much glory. And I think it's probably because of, I think there was a lot of difficult games lately, right? So we had to play. We beat Liverpool before that. Spurs. Maybe sometimes it's hard. You know this, Paul. It's hard to maintain that level sometimes. Yeah, you have to drop. You do drop off.
Yeah. The good thing is that you won, isn't it?
Three exactly.
Points, like
ugly win, but Arteta was happier, happier than ever. Really, after that game, he was really buzzing, absolutely buzzing.
I expected you to drop points. To be honest, I thought because of the high and Leeds will be up for it. I know that it's always a good atmosphere there. I expect.
We got lucky. We got lucky because Bamford missed the penalty. And then there was another penalty given.
Yeah.
But then it was chalked off. Yeah, yeah, there was another penalty. As we know, you always say that Gabriel has a mistake in him, Paul.
Yeah.
And
he got
a red card and a penalty. But then after reviewing it, the ref decided to give him just a yellow card, and it was actually not given because there was a previous foul before that on Gabriel before he retaliated, which was what he was given the red card for originally. So anyway, happy for Arsenal that we got 3 points. Right, okay, guys, let's quickly go through the other segments, but we're going to have to do it quickly today, yeah? So, Hero of the Week first. Let's just give brief explanations today, yeah? So, who wants to start?
I'm going to go with Salah for scoring against Man City.
I was going to say Salah too. I can't think of any West Ham players. I mean,
Rice.
Yeah, Salah. Rice. I love that goal. Yeah, I mean, I could have said Rice, but he scored a great goal. But I just thought Salah's goal was so classy. I just loved it. I could watch it 100 times. So yeah, I think.
I'll say Harvey Elliott. I thought he had a good game. And I feel bad because I said he wasn't very good to my friend a few weeks ago. No, he wasn't very good. He wasn't good enough at the moment for Liverpool, but he's proving me wrong.
And I'm going to say actually Jurgen Klopp for managing this game really well. And I know he got a red card, but I think he was part of the reason Liverpool played so well, because he really managed to sort of spur the crowd on. You know, he was really pumping the crowd up and shouting, and really a lot of he had a lot of energy about him. It's quite similar to how Arteta is, and he really got the crowd going on the day. And the red card, you know, it's okay. Like it's part of that, in my opinion.
It does seem to be more important nowadays, doesn't it? Managers never did this in the past at all. Like Mourinho was maybe the first one to actually do it in England, like a little bit, just engaging the crowd, being like a villain or like trying to get them going. But now lots of managers do it.
About Clough, Brian Clough, maybe. Brian Clough, I think was ahead of his time. I think he was very clever at that. Yeah, it's going back too far, maybe. But I'm going to change my hero of the week. I'm going to change it to Alisson, just so we have four different ones. Alisson's pass was amazing, and he's made some really good saves. So just have four different.
Cancelo is at fault for that, but I agree. It was quick thinking from him because he caught the ball. It was poor De Bruyne free kick, and he caught the ball, and he just sharp vision saw Salah making
kept
a run.
It low.
Yeah. It was always a dangerous moment anyway, and Cancelo didn't make the right decision there.
Salah, I think I'm going to watch the second half again tonight.
Twice.
If you haven't seen it, you should try to watch it. It was
all right. Who's your game week villain, guys?
I'm going to say Bruno Fernandes, but I also want to say I think more United players for the theatrical element that they kind of overdid this week.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Like, is it? Can I have a guess? Was Bruno Fernandes involved?
Yeah.
I didn't even see the match. I knew it would be him.
I think Anthony did once or twice. I think twice even. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes.
Not my favorite player, Leontes. I don't like this player so much. No. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, if you're playing against City, fine. But you're playing against Newcastle, you know, just play well. And you're not on stage.
But isn't he like digging his own grave? Yeah. If that is the expression. Because like everybody knows it now. The referees, they know. It's like with Neymar, right? Everybody knows he dies. So isn't this like, isn't he shooting himself in the foot by constantly doing that?
I think Salah shot himself in the foot. He hasn't had a free kick in about 3 years, Salah, because he dived 4 years ago a couple of times. Honestly, he doesn't dive anymore. He did a couple of times and got penalties, but for about 3 years, I don't think he's got a free kick.
He has been clean for 3 years.
Now they can do what they want to. They can assault him like Bernardo that did it. It was ridiculous.
Okay, what about you guys? Who's your villain?
Well, I just thinking as off the top of my head, but I'm going to say, and this is extremely harsh, but I'm going to say Moyes because he didn't. You know, so frustrating. At least the last 10 minutes, just put on Antonio with Scamacca up front. Let's try and get a goal. He's just so frustrating sometimes, but he's a legend, and I'm still very happy with him as manager.
A legendary villain. villainous legend. Which one is it?
Legendary villain, I think we'll go with.
All right. Paul?
I was thinking Pep Guardiola or Bernardo Silva. Pep Guardiola for possibly like overthinking it. He changed the team. They played with a three at the back. Wing back Foden was like a wing back. But Bernardo Silva is just annoying. I don't like Bernardo Silva. And he tried to get in it. Like he tried to get into an argument with Salah and pushed him.
Yeah.
Don't touch Salah, Bernardo.
He did play really well, though, I thought. He was really one of the players that kept them going, I thought.
Bernardo Silva.
I like the way he played.
Player, yeah.
Yeah, he played really well in that match. I was getting stuck in as well. I thought like he was really going for it.
Yeah, he's up for it. He makes comments about Liverpool. He's got into a few exchanges with Liverpool fans online. Mm-hmm.
It's funny we haven't spoken about Haaland, isn't it?
I
That's right. We somehow avoided him. Well, I thought that Van Dijk had him in his pocket.
Yeah. Big pockets.
Okay, I'm going to say... Sorry, Paul, go on.
Nothing, go on. He had a couple of chances, didn't he, Haaland? But they weren't easy chances. And he's played Liverpool four times now, never won.
Really? Yeah. Right, that's going to become a thing, isn't it? I think if it doesn't win the next one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My villain.
Something that they're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm gonna now be on Ben's side, and I'm gonna say my villain of the week is the referee from the West Ham match for blocking Jareth Bowen and not stopping the game.
Yeah, I didn't choose him as my villain because I think he just did everything by the book. I don't think he deliberately blocked Bowen. And I do think, you know, Bowen...
Clumsy. It was just being a butterfinger. Come on, you have to do better than that. That's why he's my villain of the week.
Okay,
for being clumsy.
For being clumsy, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah.
All right, guys. Let's have a look quickly at the FPL. Fantasy Premier League, so we all play it.
Am I in it this season?
Oh, you don't play it?
I'm playing it, yeah. But I was in your league last season, but
You're not there?
No, I didn't get automatically. I had a good weekend as well. So.
You must be there. Are you sure you're not there? Hang on, we will have a look. I'm sure.
I wanted to put Mount and Salah all week. I'll do Mount and Salah for Foden and De Bruyne. Mount and Salah, and then I put Son in for De Bruyne. Captain Kane, average week, about 50 points I got.
Okay, we are looking at your team now, Paul.
About 50.
So you got 52 points.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Kane was a good choice, though.
Yeah.
I kept
Mount and Salah all week.
Captain Haaland, that didn't go that well.
Everyone, I thought I'd be really clever, and I didn't captain Haaland. You think, oh, well, that's a genius move because he didn't score, but I decided to captain Skamaka instead. Obviously, he got the same points as Haaland. So if I'd been a bit...
We cannot see that. Zenek, can you make it bigger?
I can try. Is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you sit in an 11th place, Paul. I'm in the 9th place. Leontes is fighting for that 23rd spot with Noob.
That's the big battle, Leontes and Noob.
How did you do this game week? 43 points. Good defense. Look at that. What a defense there. Everybody delivered.
Yeah.
Wow. But then...
The midfield.
Yeah, everything else went wrong. It was just defense that got you points.
I had to read the instructions better, I think, when I started. Spent more time on this.
Yeah, it's always that first year, you know, you make a few mistakes here and there. Alisson on bench, 14 points.
Oh.
You played Henderson.
And the Nottingham Forest keeper.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. Yeah. He got an assist. So that's why he has so many points. And 3 bonus points as well. And saves and 6 saves. Wow.
Yeah, I got Alisson in goal. I was pretty happy with that. And Salah, but
oh, good.
Apart from that.
How many points did you get this week, Ben?
I got 66 this week. I was pretty happy with that.
This week, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I am in that league.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you an invite. Yeah. Whoever wants to join my league, guys, whoever is watching this, this is the link, and I'm gonna put it on screen now.
It's a big week, isn't it, really, with the City and Arsenal not playing.
Yeah, I don't know what
Madison
I'm going to do about
getting
it.
Injured, Reece James getting injured. There's a few injuries. Luis Diaz, these players were in people's teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm struggling to get a team together. 11 players. So I don't know.
I think I'll have 11, but I also have my wild card, so I can get City players back in the next week.
I have got. Like 11 players as well for this week. guys, don't forget that the deadline is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's games are coming thick and fast these days, and I've got one Manchester United player, Dalot.
He was okay.
Yeah.
I have Salah. I actually bought Salah before he scored that goal. Even I knew I wanted Salah for this game week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Arsenal and City are blanking this weekend. They're not playing.
You make your substitute so early, Zenek. He might have got injured in that match.
He doesn't get injured. He's invincible. He's Salah. Come on, King Salah. I trust him again.
Have you done the Sparta Prague kit? Or is that the Arsenal kit?
No, that's like Arsenal with something to support Ukraine as well in the middle.
That's Sparta Prague.
Yeah. It's not really Sparta Prague. I don't support Sparta Prague. It's more like Arsenal or something, yeah. Didn't even know this thing existed until about 5 days ago, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was a good team, Zenek. You got 11 players. A lot of people don't have 11 players.
I was actually preparing for this for a long time. I even sacrificed some players like Gabriel Jesus. I sold him early enough. Same with De Bruyne. So I might need these players back at some point, actually, because I can't have just one City player, right? Look at that.
I can't believe I never put Mount and Salah in. I'm going to say it again. Sorry. All week I was thinking about it. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. Oh, well, it is what it is. But the league is on. Hopefully we will have Ben in it now as well to challenge us.
I'm trying to join, but I've clicked on that link you've sent, but it's...
Maybe it takes some time.
I will be there anyway.
It's not letting you in. Oh, maybe it just needs to refresh or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But, you know, there are some players in our league that are a little bit far ahead, I'm afraid. This Mohamed Nawal and Gal as well. Gal from Ireland, Tom Smith. They are really, really far ahead. And it's going to be hard to catch them up.
I think I've got 629 points at the moment, so I'm not that far behind. I'll be in fourth when I join.
Oh, please don't join then.
Because last year I think I finished bottom, didn't I? I was near the bottom. I was one of the disaster last year, so I've got to redeem myself a little bit. So please let me back in.
I will. Of course, I will. Thank you. Okay, guys. I guess that's it for today. It took a little bit longer than usual, but that's all. That always happens when we have great football fans to talk about football with us here. So.
I'm going to do my best this week on Fantasy League.
Yeah.
I've made some changes already. I sold Ronaldo.
Finally. He was your captain every single week, man.
Yeah.
I remember in my first season, like 8 years ago, I think the first time I played, I decided to captain Mark Noble. I thought that would be a good choice. And I think he gave away a penalty and got sent off in the same match. Quick learning curve for me there. Yeah.
It would have been a good differential if it happened. Maybe if West Ham had two penalties in that game or something.
Yeah. He could have got man of the match for once. But yeah, it's, those type of players, like, it's better to steer clear of those. Well, usually steer clear of West Ham players in general, but I can't. I need to have a couple in my team always.
Exactly. So, guys, I want to thank you very much for your participation today. I hope you come on another time and talk about your teams. Good luck to Paul and Ben in your mutual clash. And Leontes, is your team playing this week?
Yeah, I think I just had it, but I don't remember. I want to say Everton, but that's not correct. I've already played it.
I can check quickly for you.
We're playing Tottenham. Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
You might as well beat them for Arsenal's sake.
Let's hope.
Good luck. Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you very much. And to whoever was watching us, please give us a like. It will help the show. And thanks for watching and writing all your comments as well.
Thanks, Zenek. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Cheers, guys. Bye. Take care. Thanks.
All right, guys, and it's just me for now, and I want to do the last part of this show, and this is the first time I'm doing it in this kind of format. It's a new concept. I want to give it a go. Let's see what happens. Basically, as I was talking to Ben, Paul, and Leontes, I was making notes. I wrote down several sentences, and what I would like to do now is to explain some of the vocabulary. So let's get cracking, shall we? So I'm going to actually copy-paste these in the comments. So we have got this sentence. I only saw the highlights of Liverpool-Manchester City. Not sure who said this. Might have been Leontes, but I just want to talk about the word highlights. The word highlights, it may have different meanings, and one of them is when you talk about football, it's basically short clips from the game or short clip from the game put together of the most important moments. So usually it's the goals, if there is a red card, penalty, shouts, whatever. So those are highlights. Also, as far as I know, highlights, it's a hairstyle. Highlights is like when you have like blonde hair, little bit of blonde hair on your head. Basically, that's what's called highlights. I used to have highlights when I was younger, back in the day. okay, so that's highlights. And what are we going to do next? Okay, it ended in a goalless draw. Interesting word to describe a nil-nil result in football. A goalless draw. Goalless means there are no goals in the game, and draw. And it's used as a collocation, a goalless draw. Yeah, so that's that. So obviously we were talking about the Manchester United-Newcastle game, which did end in a goalless draw, meaning nobody scored any goals, okay? So that's goalless draw. Then this is something that Ben used. His personality seems to be overbearing, which is an interesting word. Overbearing. We were talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, and this is an adjective which means unpleasantly overpowering. So I guess you're sort of too confident and determined to tell other people what to do. You're kind of bossing them around up to the point that it's not very pleasant. It's kind of obnoxious. You know, people don't like you. So that's overbearing. Okay, so I think the young fans took to him, which is a really good phrasal verb to look at. Just give me 1 second. Okay, so we were talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, and I believe it was Ben who said that I think the young fans took to him, but not the old fans. So if you take to someone, it means that you start liking someone. You kind of accept someone as your own and start supporting them. Yeah, that's what it means to take to. You can take to, I don't know, a sport. You can take to golf. It means you start liking the sport. Okay, that's that. What else do I have here? Okay, now that he's getting on a bit. Again, we were talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, and not sure who said this, but one of my guests said, now that he's getting on a bit, is he contributing enough? He was sort of asking a question. So if you're getting on a bit, it means you're getting older. So in football, if you're in your late 30s, you're definitely getting on a bit. Yeah, so you are getting kind of too old for the game. Right. The keeper kind of mistimed his free kick. And that was something that Leontes said. Remember when he was talking about the Cristiano Ronaldo goal, which was disallowed. And if you mistime your free kick, you don't hit it well. Yeah, I think he barely touched it in this case. To mistime You can mistime a header. You can mistime a, you know, a pass. It just, you just do something wrongly. The verb to mistime something means to do something wrongly and improperly. Yeah. So that's that. What else do we have here? I like this one. We were talking about, again, Cristiano Ronaldo. He was a popular figure in this show. And I can't remember who said it. Was it Paul, I think? I think it was Paul who used this word pathetic. So it's an adjective. If something is pathetic, it doesn't really... How can I explain this adjective? You can't have any respect for that. It's like, oh, it's pathetic. Yeah. Let's see what the definition says. It's just of very low standard and miserably inadequate. I like that definition. Causing and evoking pity. Yeah. So as I said, it's the opposite of respect. Right. You can't. It's pathetic. A pathetic performance, a pathetic strike. Ronaldo scoring a goal after that mistimed free kick. Nobody saw that almost. And it's just not right. It was pathetic. Again, we can use this adjective to describe that incident. Okay, I've written down a lot of things here, but I think I'm just going to be a little bit selective here. Okay, so, all right, let's do this one. I think we were talking about Vladimír Coufal, Tomáš Souček, the Czech players at West Ham. And Ben said that when they started at the club, they hit the ground running. So if you hit the ground running, this is a very nice idiom you can use. We use it when you start working for a company, or in this case, you start playing for a certain club, and if you hit the ground running, you start off really well. Yeah, so your first days at the job, maybe you surpass everybody's expectations. You really start off well. You have a good start to your career, or a good start to your whatever activity you are involved in, really. Okay, that's that. Then guys were discussing Onana, who I can't remember who he plays for now. Is it Everton? I'm gonna check quickly. Onana footballer. Everton, yeah. He plays for Everton. And he's a defensive midfielder. And I believe Ben said that we were in for him. So if you're in for someone, it means that you're interested in someone. West Ham wanted to sign this player. Yeah, they were negotiating this player. They were linked with him, and they were really interested in bringing him to West Ham. But it didn't happen in the end. He went to Everton instead. Yeah. But they were definitely in for him. They were interested in him, wanted to get him to West Ham. Okay. What else do we have here? Okay. Right. This is an interesting expression for sure. First half was a bit cagey in some way. No, I can't remember what exactly. I think it was the Liverpool game. I think this is what Paul said. Paul said this first half was a bit cagey. And when a game is a bit cagey, it just means that there's not enough pace. The game is kind of slow. It's just the opposite of intense football, you know, like with football with a lot of intensity, which I thought it was from the beginning, but I think Paul obviously understands his club better. But he used this interesting adjective to describe first half, in his opinion, of that Liverpool Manchester City game. Okay, what else do we have here? Okay, so now this is what. It was me who first used this phrase, mind games. and we were talking about the managers and how they talk in the press conference, always like trying to play mind games. So what does it mean if you play mind games? It's sort of like you're sort of like playing psychological, almost manipulative games. Yeah, you're trying to make the other party, or in this case your opponent, feel some kind of discomfort, just to gain a psychological advantage over them. Yeah, it's part of like part of this gamesmanship, I guess. You're just trying to undermine your opponent in some way, so that you come out on top psychologically, you know. So you have that confidence, and on the other hand, your opponent don't lose self belief or something like that. So that's mind games. Often, Jose Mourinho used to play mind games as well, right? Okay, what else do we have here? Okay, a few more things, and then I'll call it a day. Okay, so this is an expression I use. It's one of my favorite, actually. I really like this one a lot. I thought that Van Dijk had him in his pocket. So I was talking, we mentioned Haaland, but the way we mentioned him was that, oh, we haven't talked about Haaland here today. Well, why not? And my response to that was, well, I thought Van Dijk had him in his pocket. I hope this is how you spell Van Dijk, by the way. I'm not sure. You know, the Dutch player, the Liverpool centre-back, Van Dijk. Virgil Van Dijk, I believe his full name is. And if you have someone in your pocket, so in this case, Van Dijk had Haaland in their pocket, it means you play in a way that you completely negate or limit somebody's skills. Yeah. So basically, Haaland is such an amazing player, but Van Dijk, like, he played so well defensively that he completely negated Haaland. He didn't give him a sniff, as we say as well. Didn't give him a chance to score. Yeah, he had that one chance, fair enough, but I thought Van Dijk played really well. He really took care of Haaland in this game, which was a bit of a surprise, because I always thought that Haaland is unstoppable. Well, he still probably is, let's be honest. But this was a special game, yeah, at Anfield. It's always hard. I believe I heard from commentators that in 20 years, Manchester City only managed to win there once. I don't know if this is true, but that's what the commentators said during the game. So, I mean, that's quite telling, isn't it? Right. I think that's it for today, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this language corner bit. This is, I think, how I'm going to do this. It's going to be faster for me. There is no editing involved. That's why. It means that I may occasionally not, be at my best when it comes to explaining things. I might have to check something here and there, or there might be a little bit of hesitation. But I think that's okay. It's part of this, and I think it's perhaps more authentic like this, because you get it directly after the show. So if you really listen carefully during the show, if you really watch it, listen carefully to all these expressions, I think this could be the way to go, you know, because now I'm reminding you again of this vocabulary, and hopefully the idea is that I'm here to help you. Yeah, I'm here to help you with your English. So hopefully you will manage to start using some of this vocabulary, at least some of it, or if not use it, at least understand it better next time you listen to people talking about football. Yeah. So thank you very much for listening, guys. Don't forget to give us a like, share this video if you want with your friends, and subscribe to the channel if this is your first time watching. And I've been Zdenek, and that's all from me for today. Take care, everyone. Cheers. Bye.